you know, when you train these agencies, they get success. They want to work with you more. It's actually kind of a beautiful thing about the training business is that you can really impact businesses with very little.
You're listening to the Merged Marketing Podcast with David Lauch and Jason Hunt. Our mission with this show is to discuss all things business, digital marketing, sales, and mindset. It's our hope to empower entrepreneurs to get the most from their efforts so that they can focus on what they do best.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the Merge Marketing Podcast. My name is David, co-host and producer, along with my partner, Jason Hunt. You're listening to episode number 57. We're going niche today, talking about SEO, that's search engine optimization for real estate professionals. Now, hold on a second. Even if you're not a real estate professional, you can still get a lot of value from today's topic and guests, so please stick around. Ryan Stewart is a marketing entrepreneur with 10 plus years of experience building online businesses. To date, he has successfully sold three companies, including Webris, a seven-figure SEO agency. He currently spends his time working one-on-one with agencies and building query. Ryan, thank you so much and welcome to the show today.
I need to bring you everywhere with me. That was a fantastic introduction. Thank you.
You know what? I've gotten that a couple times and I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you. So we're really excited to have Ryan on the show. And I'm actually really excited about this topic, as I'm sure so many listening today are as well, because real estate is such a hot topic by itself. But for professionals in the field who are looking for another way to be the go-to person in their area for real estate, you're really going to want to listen to what Ryan has to say today. So, Ryan, let's dive right into it. If you could give a basic overview of real estate SEO and how it may differ from what I'll call non-real estate SEO.
Okay, yeah, sure. So when we get a real estate client, there's really, I'll say four things that you want to focus on. When I approach SEO especially, I like to take the simplest approach possible. A lot of folks get lost in the sauce, if you will, when it comes to SEO, because there's constantly new headlines coming out, constantly new tactics. But at the end of the day, the algorithm is at a place where if you just follow best practices, and I mean that in the simplest form, you'll get results. It's just a matter of execution, right? And that's where a lot of real estate folks struggle, is that the inability to execute, which we can talk about more and how you can instill that as well. So the few things that I look for is, number one, on the technical side of things. Google wants a website that's user-friendly, easy to crawl, fast, mobile-friendly, all that type of stuff. But when it comes to that too, and the challenge with real estate websites is the URL structures that they'll face, because there's so many properties, there's so many categories, there's so many listings that are constantly popping up that it's constantly adding new and sometimes less than ideal URLs when it comes to a search engine point of view. So the first thing that we'll do is look at the URL structure and make sure that the website is set up in a way that is effectively crawlable by Google. And for those of you beginners out there, what that basically means is Google really crawls folders, websites based on folder structure. So if you can organize your website in a way, and this is key, and it pushes into point two of what's important for real estate SEO, into categories based on what people are really searching for. And what I mean by that is people aren't searching for a specific property, right? Like an actual address, unless they've already seen that property and they're just looking for more information on it. In which case they'll probably go to like Realtor or Redfin or something like that anyways, right? I'm a recent home buyer, so I know the process very well from the buyer side of things. For the most part, like, we would start searching and we'd be open to seeing a real estate agent or brokerage website to see what's available. But for the most part, when it came to actually looking at the property, you know, we'd use Redfin or something like that. There's just a lot more data on those websites that makes more sense. So with that being said, understanding how the searchers search, again, like, optimizing your website to try and rank for individual listings is not the route that you want to go. In fact, what we recommend on a lot of smaller websites is to actually set those pages to no index. So Google doesn't even pick up those pages. And what that allows Google to do is then focus on other pages that are more key to your website, which is what it's going to be, basically location-based, neighborhoods. Basically, again, when somebody's starting their search, where do they mostly start? They know where they want to live in the areas, or they know other details like that. So they're going to search Google for, you know, South Beach homes or Coral Gables homes. And that's where especially smaller real estate websites can come in and win, is by focusing on those pages, really dialing in on what those neighborhoods are, and then just populating those with the listings. So that will take some development on the back end to get set up. And I know there's a lot of technical jargon in that, but we have a blog post that I'm sure you guys will link to that will detail that a little bit more. So that's part one. Do you have any questions on that? I know that was a mouthful. For
Yeah, I wanted to touch quickly there, Ryan, on site speed. I think a lot of realtors, they underestimate, or small business owners for that matter, underestimate the importance of site speed. And maybe you can give some tips on that and some tools people can use to check their own site speed on their website.
Yeah, for sure. I would use something. Well, there's a couple tools I would use Google's Page Speed Insights tool. They also have a new tool that focuses a little bit more on Core Web Vitals, which is also becoming like a new algorithm update in May. That's effectively going to look at things like site speed. Basically, you know, does the content deliver on the user experience? But you can just run them through those free tools, and you'll need a developer to help you out to make those actual changes, because a lot of them are going to be just technical in nature. But yeah, I would just use Google Page Speed Insights for that.
Awesome. And also on the site structure side of things, should we be giving thought to, or should realtors be giving thought to, the actual pages that they have on their website? And so what I'm talking about is like the heading. So like home, about, services, contact us. And if they should, what are some ones that they absolutely need to have?
For sure. So neighborhoods would be key to me. So basically what we're talking about is the top level navigation, and you want to put your most important pages up there, because Google understands that if they're up there, then those are important pages that are going to get crawled and get the attention first. So any pages that have high conversion value, again, neighborhood pages, things along that nature. And then, you know, you can put an about up there, like a blog link up there. And of course, you know, the most important one, which is the contact us or call us now.
In terms of social, maybe you can touch on the importance of social, and are some platforms more important than others in contributing to the to ranking?
So social has no factors. I mean, no real influence on rankings from what I've seen. You know, there's a lot of theory out there, but it doesn't really have an impact on it. But I would say social is just as important as search. Just some things that I've seen working, the two networks that I would focus on, Instagram, obviously, but there's a lot of noise there. I've actually seen a lot of really good real estate TikToks that are getting pushed viral. You know, a lot of folks focus a little bit too much, I think, at the local region, but not understanding that if you, like, people love, after going through the real estate process too, you know, it's always good to put yourself in the shoes of the consumer. And like, I now, for whatever reason, love looking at homes and home improvement stuff and stuff like this. And like, these things get crazy reach, you know what I'm saying? And you can kind of position yourself as, you know, the go-to realtor at a national level just on TikTok, and then people will know that you're in Miami. So naturally people will gravitate towards you there. TikTok, and then YouTube too. There's actually this kid, his name's Cash Jordan. He does these really, really cool vlogs of New York rentals. And he's a real estate agent, and now people are giving him these listings because he built a YouTube following, that he's making a, you know, YouTube video for, that's getting 10,000-50,000 views, depending on how cool the apartment is. So like, he's getting exclusive listings that way, you know, and he's just doing vlogs, and it's the most basic stuff, like super simple. Like, people like to look at real estate, you know, show it to them, you know, you're out there in the field every day. The hardest part is just, I think, breaking past that mental barrier of like having your phone out all the time. But if you can do that, then, you know, that's what it takes right now, you know, and it's not overly complicated. It's just a matter of, again, kind of showing the consumer what it is that they naturally gravitate to. Which you're lucky that you sell a product that naturally does that, you know?
Yeah. You know, you've been probably working with real estate agents for a long time. So this is something that I've noticed. I noticed that a lot of real estate agents put a ton of focus on the social media side of their business and the side of marketing, because, you know, it's fun. It's fancy. They can show off what they're doing and who they work for and where they live and all that sort of great stuff. But do you find that a lot of them will ignore this side of their business and marketing, like the SEO side specifically?
I wouldn't say ignore. I just think that, you know, look, like, SEO is something that is really kind of challenging to learn. And if I was a real estate agent, I wouldn't like, it's not a good use of their time to learn it. You know, mm-hmm. It is really more effective for them to learn how to market themselves on social media. You know, it's just, it's not only more fun in a sense, but it's also just more effective and more manageable and more executable, right? When it comes to SEO, you know, I realize now a little bit more who your audience is before I went off on that technical slant over there, but like, you know, that's what you have to do. And you're going to need outside help to do that, you know? So I wouldn't recommend it's a good use of realtors' time to like learn JavaScript. You know, it's just, you know, it's better if they can do something scalable and executable on from their own phone. You know, and I think what you have to do is, as a real estate agent or brokerage, you have to start there to build your client base. And then once you're able to take the next step and invest into your business online, then you should definitely focus on SEO, because it's going to bring you leads directly. But it does take an investment, and you're going to have to invest in outside help to do it, unless you really want to learn SEO. If that's the case, I can teach you. But aside from that, I wouldn't recommend that you do that. You know,
I love the power of leveraging SEO, but more so leveraging the retargeting of people that are a warm audience that are hitting that page from an organic search. I think there's so much power to that, and leveraging social to remain top of mind with those people that are in your hot audience or BOFU, whatever you want to call it, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Facebook ads are a whole nother avenue that you can take to market your real estate agency. It's just, you know, I think a lot of agents haven't really cracked it because they don't realize how much they have to invest in non-lead generating content, right? Like, real estate is not everyone's in market all the time. So just running like, hey, I'm a real estate agent, like a bus ad, hire me, it's not the way you should do it. You've got to be running this like interesting, engaging content, which again, you're looking at every day. If you're able to just really capture and make cool videos and put them on Facebook and then boost them. And then, as you said, build an audience of people who have watched that, and then, you know, remarket to them, you know, more of a, you know, lead generation. Hey, I'm here when you need you. I'm your realtor. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at properties I've sold, whatever that looks like. Much more effective way than trying to go direct marketing acquisition.
What do you say to a realtor that you want to work with, or that wants to work with you, that has a website on Wix or Squarespace? Is there a platform that you prefer to others?
For real estate, you know, like WordPress is cool. It really depends on their size too, right? I think that if you are solo on your own, then like I wouldn't never really recommend Wix, but it's the easiest thing to stand something up on your own. Again, you know, being in this business for a while now, I understand that, you know, businesses have different levels of investment. Again, there's, depending on what industry that is, I wouldn't always recommend that they invest their initial funds into a website, because you can close business from your phone, you know, very easily on Instagram. You could just run your whole business from there for a while. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you graduate. But I think the question is, after you get off of a Wix platform like that, and you've got agents of your own, and you're trying to provide them leads, then you've got to invest in a proper website. You know, WordPress is probably the easiest thing to do. I know they have pretty simple integrations with the MLS that can pull through the listings on your website. Actually, the top website in Miami, like Miami Condo Investments, they crush it in SEO. I believe they're on WordPress. But then they also have a bunch of, you know, real estate dedicated platforms. I can't really speak on them because I've never really worked with them, but I'm sure a solid route too, you know.
Yeah. And just going back to the social discussion we had for a second there, because you had mentioned that social media doesn't really play a factor in the search engines, which I've heard and is obviously a debate depending on who you talk to. But one cool thing about Instagram that they're rolling out now and is only going to improve over time is the ability to search keywords on the platform, which up until recently you weren't able to do. So if you wanted to find content, content creator had to put that keyword, I guess, as a hashtag in their post. So I want to dive into keywords a little bit, which is where I'm going with this. So how do you pick the right keywords, both on your website and I guess on social, now that you can start to search for those keywords?
Yeah, I think social is going to be pretty easy, right? It's kind of like early SEO days. The keywords were probably very rudimentary. But Google gets a lot more advanced because we're talking about things like keyword intent, right? So the difference behind somebody looking for, you know, if you're searching, for example, like there's a ton of high rises here in Miami, right? Somebody's searching for one of those building names, you know, understanding the intent behind the different searches and the searches that then stem off that. There's also just trillions more volume in terms of search in Google too. So you've got all these long tail keywords, right? So the building's name is Paramount. You know, there could be other searches like Paramount Views, Paramount Penthouses, Paramount Cheap, Paramount, you know, Best. Understanding the difference between those, like if somebody's looking for Paramount Views, they're probably kicking the tires. They're probably not, you probably don't want to optimize your site around that. So Google's a lot more advanced. There's tools that you can use to help out. We use Ahrefs, SEMrush. We'll also just literally type a keyword into Google and then scroll to the bottom and see what Google spits out as like other suggested searches that are related to that keyword. So you can get away with doing that for free. But I think intent is really the most important part. Not going for intent over volume, because especially here in Miami, like there are a lot of window shoppers just looking for like cool penthouses to look at because it's Miami, you know? But you know, even though like a kind of like a higher end broker would probably want to optimize for that keyword, which is fine. You know, it's probably not going to drive a lot of leads for them, probably a lot of traffic, but maybe not a lot of leads. But at the same time, kind of just to piggyback off what you said, David, about social and the impact. I don't know if there, I can't answer that if there's an impact directly from social media. I guess the point that I always try to make for people is you should be doing social media anyways, right? Like who cares about a max search, because you should be doing it because it's what's best for your business. So that's why, like, when people in the SEO is just a very different type of community. Sometimes people, we like to debate about things that have no right or wrong answer, and people want to debate that. But at the end of the day, it's like, who cares? Like,
who cares
for your business?
Yeah.
It's going to make you money. So do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so what do these sites like realtor.com or realtor.ca and in Canada, or there's a million others in the US, there's really only realtor.ca, but how do these sites come into play, and where do you think the future, what do you think the future holds for the average real estate agent with a website? Because I mean, the content that I've read basically states that these sites like realtor.com are going to take over, and that's just where everybody's going to go. And you've brought up a few things here. Like, when people are searching, you got to think about the intent, but like, I'll be honest, when I'm looking to buy a home or looking for homes, I don't even go to Google. I just go straight to realtor.ca and then search Oakville or Toronto or whatever area that I'm looking to live in. So I don't even go to Google. So right. There's no way for me to even get to those real estate agent websites that are optimizing.
I agree. Yeah. Yes. I mean, look, I guess I was trying to present some level of hope to the audience, but yeah, I mean, look, if you were to ask me directly, like, I would tell a realtor not to invest in SEO, you know, unless you are a massive, massive brokerage that can spend a lot of money to compete, then like, it's not a good fit for you. Just have to figure something else out, you know? But that's, it's not a bad thing though. You know what I'm saying? There's millions of other places. Cause at the same time, like, Redfin and Realtor can't compete with you on TikTok. They can't compete with you on Instagram. You know what I'm saying? It's a different opportunity for you, especially if you're smaller. So, I agree with you. And it's the same thing with Amazon. You know, I buy like 90% of my stuff, especially post pandemic, from Amazon. I go directly to Amazon, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the power of brand, man. You know, I think it's just like with anything, like, it's why you can't put all your eggs in one basket. It's especially where we're going, potentially with a lot more voice search, like, people are going to be searching for brands, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's important to work on that. And social media is probably the best way to do that, you know?
I think that's the best play, to be honest, is using the SEO side of it. Build out that blog and position yourself as that thought leader, because the search could be, you know, the exterior design trends for 2021. And if you're the brokerage that happens to have that blog post that's captivating the audience, then that's that initial point of contact. Then you just retarget the shit out of them, right? Like,
I don't disagree with you, but I do think that the attention that one gets from seeing someone's face on Instagram a couple times a week versus a blog post when they're searching for it, the stickiness in terms of brand isn't quite there. You're 100% in terms of generating customers, like fish in a barrel, right? Mm-hmm. Get them to a relevant piece of content. They're qualifying themselves, retarget them on social, whether even not they know, but like, they're already putting themselves in market. So the ad is extra relevant to them, right? But I do, when it comes to a brand though, and I also think that in our space, the marketing space, blogging is still like a really good way to build a personal brand and get in that hole. But I think in other spaces, I mean, because at the same time, like, our people aren't really on Instagram and TikTok, you know? So it's just a different type of consumption. It's a different type of information, you know, especially when we're talking like B2C searching for, you know, like best homes in Miami Shores. You're scrolling content. You're not being like, damn, that author was amazing. Thank you for that. but in our space, in other B2B spaces, 100%, absolutely. Cause content is so impactful, like the SaaS space, agency space, 100%. Like, authors are authoritative in this space for sure. But your core point is definitely right, 100%.
Interesting. Awesome. Well, you know, you've already given our audience today, the real estate agent listening, a lot of value on maybe where they should take their business and where they should take their marketing, which is key. And I love it. So, Ryan, why don't you let us know kind of what other things you're working on right now? Because I know you're doing a lot of things in the marketing space.
For sure. So my agency, Webers, we only do SEO, mainly for B2B companies. Then I have the Blueprint Training. That's actually a training platform for SEOs, and then also really specifically for agencies. We actually just tacked on a coaching consulting program that is specifically for agencies. And our third company, it's like a hybrid software consulting. Basically what we do there is we help companies kind of wrangle their data into a database and then basically build out the custom reporting and dashboard that they need. So for like enterprise sales teams, marketing teams, joining that all together. That's the third one. I spend most of my time right now with the Blueprint. That's kind of my favorite business right now.
Can we dive into that for a second, Ryan? I think sure. The Blueprint is so interesting, and the fact that you're using Slack as the platform to manage it and provide membership through Slack. Maybe you can dive into a little bit of that and tell our audience how you're using it and how you're leveraging it and how you're monetizing it.
For sure. So if I could take one step up from that and just kind of talk about the business model as a whole and how Slack, because Slack is actually just, I mean, Slack is a good piece of it for sure. So like I said, we have an element of video training in there. It's very specific to SEOs and SEO agencies, really anyone who wants to do SEO repeatedly at scale for clients. We've got a really good system, process, templates, basically everything you need A to Z to run a very high impact SEO campaign for top paying SEO clients, 5,000 a month and up, right? That's how the program started a couple of years ago. And we started a Slack group just kind of as a means to, like, you know, manage members and stuff like that. So it was private only to people that bought into the training. This past year, then we added on an element of coaching consulting on top of it because, you know, when you train these agencies, they get success. They want to work with you more. It's actually kind of a beautiful thing about the training business is that you can really impact businesses with very little. It's so funny comparing this business to our done for you agency Webris and like how much you have to work for clients for this little less than actually we make on the training side, right? It's crazy when you do everything for people. There's a certain element of it's just their expectations are so much higher. It's almost weird, right? It's like we're doing everything for you, and they're like expectations are through the roof. But when you're working with people who come there with a very specific problem and you have a very specific solution for that specific problem, and it doesn't matter how long the time of delivery period is. Some people come in and have a 15-minute conversation with our coaches and they're good. That problem solved, you know? So just that small conversation is able to help them make the right decision and grow their business because of it. And we do no work for it, right? So this is an interesting kind of contradiction, which is also why I've decided to focus my time on this business, because there's so much less friction in scaling this business model, right? Which allows us to focus all of our profits from business and building a team for the actual kind of client service, delivery, coaching. So that's where Slack really got important for us. We saw it as a means to really further engage people and build relationships with them, build trust with them, help them with anything that they need. You know, they can send us their proposals. We'll take a look at it. You know, we've kind of built this community of really awesome agencies in there that we've like all running on the same ecosystem. So same deliverables, same templates, and just kind of really fostered a nice community. And then the coaching, which is kind of a level up, which is a 12-week program, very specific, very short set of videos. They watch it and then they join a call with one of our coaching. So there's three pillars in that. It's positioning. We'll help you work on your offer, positioning your agency against competitors. Pillar two is productization. So taking your service and really streamlining it and building processes around it. And then three is marketing. So we'll teach you how to put together a very simple content strategy that you can attract people with. And that's very hands-on. There's like one coaching call per week, but you know, only probably 40% of people will actually show up for the call. So it's a really good business model. So that's the business model in a whole. And where Slack comes into play with that is a means to, you know, foster that community for the paying members. And then we also have a free community that we then use as kind of an offer from ads to join that. And then we have an inside sales team in there that will actually take people and have conversations with them and then ultimately book a demo call and try and sell them in the program. We do the same thing on Facebook. That's when we're talking about Facebook groups. Facebook groups are really good for that as well. It's really, really low cost acquisition to get people from an ad into like a Facebook group offer and then just provide value in the group, like do weekly live streams, answer questions, stuff like this. Like you guys, I mean, you guys are doing it right now, right? This type of stuff is awesome for fostering Facebook groups. And then, you know, we just hired basically an inside sales team that just DMs people. It's like, hey, how's it going? Like, what can we help you with? Have you seen this piece of content? We've got this guy. You're just constantly, you know, pushing more and more content, nurturing them. And then ultimately, you know, if they have a bigger question, I'll be like, why don't we book a call and we'll talk about it. And then they ultimately push to our sales team. And it's been very, very effective and very low cost because the friction, again, to get people with content and in the group and then more content. It's that's why I said the business model is pretty amazing. And Slack and Facebook are big parts of that.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey there, Jay here. Thank you so much for listening to the Merge Marketing Podcast. It would mean the world to David and myself if you could leave us a review, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. We are so invested in bringing you so much value that we would love to hear what you have to say. We'd love to hear if you have any suggestions for upcoming guests. Whatever it is, we're here to serve you. Okay? Keep it rocking, be good, and keep listening.
I just want to make sure I understand this. So basically, somebody buys a membership of the Blueprint, mm-hmm. which is a training website, let's call it, where you mm-hmm. go and it's kind of your own journey. You can just choose the courses, the videos that you want to watch based on whatever you want to learn. And then your upsell to that is they can now join your private Slack group where now you can be in a community and talk with other people and get in groups and talk about specific things. Is that what I'm hearing?
So that what you describe as Slack is actually for the training. The upsell. So that program is $5,000. It's lifetime access. We update it all the time. You retain access, and you retain access to the private Slack community. The upsell is then a consulting and coaching program that's 12 weeks that we have another group for, but it's very, very small. Most of it is one-on-one, just like the Zoom calls. Mm-hmm. And that's a $15,000 offer that it's a 12-week program for that. And that's like, so what we say is that the Blueprint training is for tactics, right? If you want to learn SEO, learn how to do it at a very high level, you're having problems, and we attach these things to problems too, right? So if you're having problems with consistency with clients, with turnover, with not having a good process to do SEO, which can be crazy, that's for you. But if you want to talk more about agency strategy, building a sales team, you know, hiring people, building really good processes that match your offer. And just like you guys, it's not just SEO, right? Like putting together a really good package specifically for real estate. Like I said, right, if we look at the problem of what a real estate agent has, SEO is not the best offer for it on its own, right? Mm-hmm. You'd really want to try and impact them with some sort of social service. So we teach them how to put together that very productized service, and it's not all done for you. Some of it is coaching, some of it is video, because again, like, it's just not reasonable to think that you can manage a real estate agent's Instagram account. That's something that they have to do. So, right. Yeah. So what we teach is they have a problem. You have to solve it no matter what it takes. And you don't have to do it all for them. There's other options to do that. And it's killing it right now, especially post COVID, because like companies, like I tell the industry all the time, like you can't just go out there and sell services. People don't want your services. They have problems. Like your service needs to solve that problem. That's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. And if you just find the right type of customer who has a problem that you know that you can solve with whatever it is that you do, you know, put together a new offer, put together that service, literally template it, project plan, same thing over, and just sell that to them over and over. It's a much better way to build an agency right now if you're doing less than like, you know, $1 million a year in revenue. If you're past that, you know, you figure out the next problem. But for like smaller agencies, it's a really, 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 really effective system.
Yeah, that is interesting. And Jay, something I think you and I are going to have to talk a little bit more about, because I mean, for us in our agency right now, we have a lot of clients and we're doing well, but I felt like when you say you can basically make the exact same amount of money, if not more, by coaching and helping them through something rather than doing it all for them. That is just amazing, because you're right. When someone pays you to do everything for them, which is happening to me right now, they expect the world, and it's never enough. And it just isn't scalable, I don't think, beyond a certain point. So, wow, that's amazing.
Humans are weird, man, right? Like you think it would be the opposite, but like, human psychology is fascinating when it comes to this type of stuff. Like it's really crazy. And I learned this too myself, because I invested very heavily into a coaching program for myself this year, early on in my career, because everyone in the marketing industry, especially, is self-taught. So we kind of have a level of pride, I guess is the right word. Like I got myself this far. Like I don't need this coach. I don't need this. I don't need help. Right. Like I can figure this out. But like when you get to a certain point with your business, with that mindset, which is cool, right? You can grow a business like that, but you get to a certain point where like, I can't handle anything else, man. Like we're like, paint growth is really, really painful. It's really painful to grow. And if you don't know what the next step is, like I've never grown a business past a certain point. So I had to go out and like, you know, kind of check myself a little bit and humble myself down and be like, I need help. And I went out and paid a lot of money to a coach. And when I tell you that I probably only spent 2 hours in that program because I got exactly what I needed, my mind blew up. I'm like, I paid a lot of money. I paid a lot of money for this coaching program, and within 2 hours of like almost part validation, part just them pushing me in the right direction, more than got my money's worth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just really opened my mind to like what is really out there, especially like now that I know too of the type of client that you could be working with, because there's other people out there now that have my mindset too that I know that are willing to invest a lot of money for, you know, not that much, right? You just have to know who they are, what pain they're having, and you've got to have a really good offer to help them out, you know? It's opened up my mind for really what's possible, especially with this type of business. Like, you know, I was like, I have a training business, you know, it'll do well, maybe like it'll do $1 million a year. That's great. But it's like, no, there's people out there taking these types of businesses, $20 million a year with very little friction. It's just kind of like, it's like removing limiting beliefs like times 100, you know. It's just crazy what people can do. It's wild.
I find it amazing that I'm fascinated by that, by what you just said there. And psychology is weird, and people are weird. And the fact that, you know, you paid this much money for a course and it took 2 hours to get all your value and all your money's worth from it. You know, kind of on a related topic, I spent $750 to teach my, for a training program to teach my dog how to behave. And I could have gotten the value out of a YouTube video for free, but basically it was one word. It was ba. That's the only word I learned from this training. I paid $750 to learn the word ba, but it was every penny was a penny well spent for that.
Yeah. I have a very energetic dog too. So I feel that, you know, it's, and that's the point, right? That's a perfect example of how like the traditional method of pricing based on like, hey, this is the input. So this is what we're going to charge. Like, first of all, you know, I told this to a client today that, They write like e-commerce subscriptions. That's what they do. Like, people are only going to ever want to pay a certain amount for that because they know what the price that should cost, and they know what it would cost for them to just like hire a writer to do it. So I was like, you need to offer something that's going to impact their growth, or something else that, like, you know, copy that, convert, something like that, that inherently can make them more money, or make, you know, just kind of change the scale without having to do more work. You know, it's a very simple twitch. And just like that, like people associate a certain price with, when you ask yourself, like, how much would you pay to have your dog quiet so you can work throughout the day? Like, people would be like, what? Like, I got $100,000 for you. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, if you can, that's like the perfect example of solving a pain. And like, they could charge way more for that if they wanted to, because if they can really anchor the pain versus kind of like what that's worth to you, like that's how agencies scale too. You know what I'm saying? It's just really hard to do that because we're sitting here looking at being like, I know what their pain is. They want more organic traffic. It's like that's a generic pain. Like, you need to focus in on who exactly you're helping. And like, for context, when I talk to agencies and the way that we sell this program is like, we actually removed, you used to go to our website and you used to be able to see all the trainings that were included, keyword research, technical SEO, blah, blah. And then I realized going through this, I'm like, no, people see that. And then they're saying like, that's a tactic. Like, they're already associating costs or value in their mind for what they'd be willing to pay for. So then when we present a $5,000 offer, they're like, yeah, it's not worth it. So instead, now we force them to have a conversation with us to book. So we provide them a ton of value through content, you know, really get them to know that we can actually help them and we're smart and we know what we're doing. And then we have a sales conversation with them and we just try and figure out like what keeps them up at night. And then once we know what that is, like, we have a really good question that our sales team asks. It's like, hey, David, if you were to take a week off from your business right now, like how would you feel? You know, and a lot of times people are like, shit, dude, anxiety, like, oh my God, I don't know what I would do. And it's like, okay, we got it. Now we know, like, you have a, like, that's a problem that you're having. That's a feeling that you're having that we can then attach easily a solution to. And like, then we can ask you what you would pay for that. As you see what I'm saying? It's a much different conversation. That's why we remove pricing off our website, because it's not that we're changing it. It's more, we're going to wait until we know what your pain is and then show you that we're a good solution for that, right? So for those people that can't leave their business, like, we've got a process and we've got a system that's going to allow you to bring people in and train them without you doing anything. Like, give them the login, like, this is what you show them and they'll do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can help you do that. And then when we present, like, how much is a vacation worth with your family versus like $5,000 or $15,000, it becomes a much easier conversation. And we're able to have one call closes on these because of that. You know what I'm saying? But we identified that problem. Like, if you go to our website right now, you'll see it all over our website. Like, our headlines are hyper specific to the type of client that we want to work with. Our like main kind of opt-in is how to go from 10 to 50 SEO clients. I know that if some, like, by seeing that headline, how to go from 10 to 50 SEO clients using this framework, it pre-qualifies that person, right? Like, if you've got 150 clients, you're not going to be like, I'm good, like, I don't need this. It helps them to already kind of get in the mindset. And then already like subconsciously pushing that we've got a framework and a solution to help you go from where you are to where you need to be. And these are the same things that we push on agencies. Like, these are the types of small changes that you'd be willing to pay a lot of money for after you go through it and you put it through your agency. And you're like, damn, this is like just the feeling that I have from running a business, that it's not a fire sale every day. You know, whether or not you're making more money doesn't really matter sometimes. It's just like, how does that person feel after they've gone through this stuff? Like that, like, how do you take them from where they are? I can't take a vacation to like, wow, like I'm excited to wake up tomorrow. You know, like that's ultimately what we want to try and sell and like market and then sell that.
That's amazing. I love this idea of potentially pivoting away from the done for you service and doing absolutely everything to the more coaching side of the business. Just FYI, Jay, we'll talk about it later. but here I have a question or a comment for you, because I think that most agencies, SEO, social, whatever it is, get into the industry and get into the business because of the idea that it's recurring monthly revenue forever. You bring on a client, not forever, but you know, you bring on a client and as long as you do a good job, they pay you 500, 1,000, whatever it is every single month over month. Whereas your way of solving the problem for $1,000 in an hour, now they're no longer a client. You got to find that client to replace it. And I don't know where I'm going here, because it's not necessarily a bad thing.
I know where you're going. So there's two things for that. Number one is that ask yourself, is paying a monthly retainer what's best for that client? The answer is pretty much always going to be no, right? Like it's not. And if, because it's not, this is why agencies struggle, like because you're not doing what's best for the client, they're not getting the results or the satisfaction that you need. There's just a constant like level of energy that's just really poor within the business at all times. It's just, it's a business model that works, but it's just like not what's best for the customer, right? It's just not. So if you go back and you just say, like, again, same conversation, you set up something that's better for them, you help them, they get results. I'm telling you, man, when people go through our $15,000 coaching program and they get results, they want to work with us more. Like, they're coming to us and being like, what else can we do? So now we're getting ready to launch one for the year. That's $50,000, you know? There's ways to continuously upsell. And that's also why we have multiple companies, because our other company that builds like these custom dashboards, it's really great for agencies that are at a certain point that, you know, have sales teams, marketing teams, all this data floating around, paid traffic, client data, everything. We help them bring that up. It's a huge pain point that we help solve, and we're able to charge, you know, 50 to 100,000 depending on the size of that project for that. So what we're trying to do too is continuously build as we grow as a company, build new offers for our existing batch of clients. Like you said, like, we're not going out and getting new clients. We're having the same ones. They're just continuously paying us more because we taken them through this path. And it's not everyone, of course. I mean, but a good amount of people, like everyone that has moved into our coaching program is from the Blueprint Training. Like you won't see us advertising for a coaching program. We don't have to. We get them into our ecosystem. That's where Slack is. Like, Slack's even before that, right? Like, once they're in like these just rungs of the ecosystem that they're in for us. And then we're able to, you know, just pass them up.
Yeah, interesting. I feel like you can get in pretty deep as an agency owner if you build your business off of the reoccurring model, because then trying to get away from that, where you're then kind of relying on bringing in new customers all the time, is kind of scary. But again, it's kind of business 101. But we're lucky in the marketing industry to have that recurring sort of model for so long.
I'll say this to that too. I 100% agree. It's almost kind of like removing a security blanket. So I'll tell you what we did at our agency Weber. So we got off of 12-month retainers this year. I had sold the agency that I sold. I actually bought the rights back in basically end of 2019, because it just, you know, wanted to take the business in a different direction. So we launched pretty much in the middle of COVID and just flatlined. You know, like, I thought, like, selfishly, like, oh, we'll just get back in the market and pick up where we left off. It didn't happen. So we had to go back and come up with a new offer, which we came up with sprints. So sprints are short-term. I've got a really good video about it on my YouTube channel. They're short-term SEO campaigns that take place in 3 weeks, going after the four buckets: technical, keywords and on-page, content, and links, right? No contracts. We'll basically go put them through the same proposal process, same analysis process, and then just present them a sprint plan. And it's like, none of these are contracted. You don't have to do any of these. This is how we take you from where you are now to where you want to be. This is what you have to do, but you know, you don't have to do them all. So we got off that 12-month contract. It just kind of snapped that. And it's different too than being like, hey, we're month to month, right? Because the thing with month to month too is like, every month you got to feel like you got to prove yourself every month. Like, it's no way to operate your business, you know? Yeah. It just puts too much stress on operations. So by having this mindset of like, we're going to be done and out of your hair in 3 weeks, we're still collecting like an average of $5,000 per sprint, and the average sprint with us per year is about $17,000. So we lost a lot in terms of yearly revenue because our average contract before was like $60,000. Mm-hmm. So we lost a lot, but we're selling them a lot faster. And so basically what I had to do was build a sales team and like really tone up our marketing. And like, we're marketers, you know what I'm saying? Like, people, like, we just have to generate more leads. That's just, you know, part of the business model. So you got to get a lot of leads. I mean, for both of these, but that's why marketing is so important. That's why, you know, I've really tried to build my schedule around being able to just focus on marketing these companies, because it's the most important part. These businesses live off of, you know, leads and good leads. We need a lot of them. So, you know, we've just had to build sales teams and then had to like optimize my time to do more stuff like this. Like, this type of stuff really helps to generate leads, you know, whoever might see this in the future. You know, this is part of the plan now, you know. But it does put a lot of stress on marketing and sales. Like, you definitely need to have a salesperson. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think all agencies should anyways, but for that model, 100%.
Awesome. Jay, you got anything you want to ask before we wrap things up?
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Ryan. Tons of value today. I'm going to give this one a playback for sure. And you've given David and myself a couple things to think about and talk about and argue about. So thank you for that. if anybody out there wants to get in touch with you, learn about your program, what's the best way they can do that?
I would say just check me out on YouTube. You know, I post something there every week. A lot of stuff like this, a lot of marketing tips. Probably the most general content that I have is up there, but it's where I publish the most for sure. So Ryan Stewart on YouTube, you'll be able to find me.
Amazing. Well, thank you. I want to thank Ryan again for joining us today and providing our audience with so much value. As he just mentioned, please reach out to him with any questions that you might have about marketing, because in his words, he has an unhealthy obsession with being the world's best internet marketer and is highly active on social media, especially YouTube. So check him out. Ryan, we end every single episode with the same question each week, and that is, if you could choose one person, dead or alive, to represent your brand, who would it be and why?
Oh man. I'm from Massachusetts, so I'm like a huge Bill Belichick, Tom Brady fan, man.
Saw that one coming.
but here's the thing, like I gotta defend my people. Like, these two, both of these guys, either one of them, probably Tom Brady because he's a fantastic looking human being, but like the dude just like, he gets a lot of hate. I understand why, because people love to hate on success, but like after what he did this year at 43 years old, like the dude is the perfect picture of what discipline looks like in today's world. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's absurd what he is doing. And it should be, you don't have to like it, but it should damn well be respected, you know?
100%, man. 100%. And I definitely, I'm an Eagles fan, diehard Eagles fan. I've never been a huge Tom Brady fan until this year. And I found myself cheering for him to pull in the seventh ring, which he obviously did. And that was awesome. Is Brady without Belichick? What do you think?
I think Brady's just a very special human being. I think they both are. I really do. I think the media will, I watch a lot of like sports media. So the media dumps on Belichick and praises Brady. Brady deserves every single ounce of praise. I just think that they're, you know, learning more about what I learned about humans, and the further I go along my journey, I realize that some people are just special, and like the dude is just, he's just a special person.
I could not agree more. Big Brady fan here. So thank you again, Ryan, for coming on today. We really enjoyed the conversation with you, and look forward to chatting to you again soon.
Yeah, happy to be here, guys.
Awesome. Great episode with Ryan. Dude, we definitely learned a lot in that episode and gave us a bit of a perspective. I mean, traditionally, you know, since 2015, we have been a do-it-for-you agency and never really dove down the path of coaching. But, you know, there are a lot of leads that, you know, as being the sales arm of our business that I speak to that are not really interested in having somebody do it for you. They just want the tips. I mean, we do that as an agency, provide a lot of value through our YouTube, weekly YouTube channels, This Week in Digital on Fridays and all that type of stuff. But I think Ryan's taking it to the next level by having that blueprint program on Slack.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you said, so much to think about and to discuss, and I hope the audience listening feels the same. Ryan has a ton of knowledge, and I think the way that he's now structured his business can be implemented on so many different levels outside of the marketing and agency world. So, what an amazing guest and what an amazing topic today.
Wherever you are, make sure you give us 5 stars, subscribe to it so you never miss an episode. We have a ton more heavy hitters in the digital marketing space coming up in the next few weeks, so you're not going to want to miss it. So subscribe so you get those notifications, okay?
All right, everybody. Take care.
See you soon.